I said the Lord is good. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'll read a number of scriptures and say something, then we'll begin to pray. Let's start from Matthew chapter 11. I think that'll be okay. Matthew chapter 11. Now, they were speaking about John the Baptist. But what I want to bring out is the word that the Lord Jesus spoke somewhere in verse 12. He said from verse 11, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." That is, if you look at people that have been born, the greatest of them all, looking from heaven's perspective, was John the Baptist. He said, yet, when you step into the kingdom of heaven, or you step into the new dispensation that God is trying to bring upon the earth, the fact that I use the expression kingdom of heaven does not mean that you have to die and be in heaven before you can participate or live in that kingdom. He said, for you to, that if you look into that kingdom, the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than John the Baptist. That is something to aspire to, is something to look forward to. And now said, notice verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Now notice that. In verse 12, he said, from verse 11, they explain how great John the Baptist was. He now said that this kingdom, all right, if you look into it, the least inside that kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And we read from the book of Luke that he said that what people are doing, all right, that this gospel of the kingdom is being preached and people are forcing their way into it. I'm trying to bring an issue here. That the kingdom of God, which is called in the book of Matthew here, the kingdom of heaven, it's a description of a place that one can move into on this earth. And the gospel of the kingdom was being preached by the law, all right? After the law and the prophets. And the Lord Jesus was saying that for you to enter into that kingdom, now I've gotten to what I wanted to say. For you to enter into that kingdom, you have to apply force. That's what I wanted to emphasize in all of these things. That is, for you to enter into that kingdom, you must apply force. Diligent pressure. For you to enter into that kingdom, it's not going to come to you just because you desire it. It's not going to come to you just because you heard about it. He said the kingdom of God is preached. The gospel of the kingdom is preached. What you do is to apply force. You apply pressure. You use diligent exertion of energy to enter into that kingdom. Please, I don't know whether you are following what I'm going to explain. Now, remember what I said at the beginning? That the kingdom of God does not describe, or the kingdom of heaven does not describe a place you get to when you will have died and gone to heaven. Because that's one of the things that people do. I said this a few weeks ago. They keep on warning Christians that it's so easy for a Christian to go to hell. So if you are walking on the road, make sure you don't kill a cockroach that does not offend you. You understand? There's one song we used to sing those days when we were children. I should don't step on that ant that did not do anything to you. And Christians actually live like that diligently because they believe that you have to strive to die and go to heaven. But that was not what he was saying. He was talking about a kingdom that was coming down onto the earth. Are you getting my point? And that's it. That is, people can live in that kingdom while they are on this earth. But my emphasis for today is the fact that he said that for you to experience that, it's a matter of force. It's a matter of fight. Now, there's another scripture I want us to read quickly. 1 Timothy chapter... Now, we're going to read two of them. I'm thinking of which one I should read first. Okay, let's read first of all, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy. I'll just bring out two things here. I'm trying not to talk for too long. He wrote to Timothy a number of instructions, which he was supposed to walk by. Then in verse 18, he said to him, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffer shipwreck in regard to their faith." Now, just note that there's a second one I want us to read. The same 1 Timothy, this time around, chapter 6, verse 12. He was speaking to Timothy again. He said, From verse 11, but flee these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And as in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let me just stop there, please, because of time. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Let me just stop there. Now, I've finished what I want to read, and I cannot say what I want to say. Now, the Lord Jesus was telling us simply, the kingdom of God, to step into that place called the kingdom of God, it's a fight. You understand? He said, men of violence will take it by force. And he was admonishing us to take it by force. I told you I heard this man speak once, Jack Hayford. And he said that expression, eternal life and kingdom of God, they refer to the same thing. It just struck me now as I was reading this, that Paul, writing to Timothy, wrote to him and said, strive or take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Where is it now? Verse 12, all right? He said, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. What he was saying is that, grab it. Take it from wherever is hiding. Make sure you experience it. It's like using the same words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is using the same, using different words to express the same thing that the Lord Jesus was saying. Fight the good fight of faith. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Violent people take it by force. And Paul is saying to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight, that's what I'm trying to say, to take hold of eternal life. It is a fight to experience what God wants you to experience in life. God said to the children of Israel, I have given you the land of Sihon, the king of this and all of that. He said, now begin to contend with him in battle. I have given you the land. You won't just sit down there, wake up one day and find that somebody rolled you and you are now on the land. You know, you're sleeping in a particular place. There was an earthquake and you shook and you found yourself on the land. He said, no, I've given you the land. So what you do now is what? You start fighting with them so as to receive the thing that I have given you. And the same thing Paul was writing to Timothy. God wants you to have it. He has called you to it. Now fight for it. Are you getting my point? God wants you to have it. He has called you to it. What did he say next? Fight for it. And it says it's a good fight of faith. Now, why am I saying all of these things? All right? You see, I've been meaning to take this prayer since maybe that last week or the week before. I just want to get into it. Listen, I say this all the time. Life is a battle, all right? We usually fight at what level? Our mouth, the level of what? Words. I will say life is a battle of words. And I say this all the time. What Satan is trying to do, Satan doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. He does not have it. He can't just get angry in the morning and say, this guy, I will kill you. You know, people say that, I told you the story of once, he said, the minister to one woman, the husband was sick, and then at the end, as they were leaving, they were now teaching her, look, keep on declaring the word of God, speak boldly about the situation. And I said, shh, don't raise your voice too high, lest the devil hears, you know? Like, he was telling them that, they were telling her, the devil can't do anything. Speaking, you know? Like, hey, if man here vexed now, this whole arrangement goes spoil, you know, that kind of thing. They think that, you know, it's because the devil hasn't heard, that's why things are at peace. But let me tell you the truth. The reason why things are at peace is that the devil is, listen, let me tell you something. About your life, listen, listen to what I want to say. The devil is currently doing his worst. What did I say? He's currently doing his worst about your life. The only reason why things are not worse is because he can't do worse than he has done. You hear what I said? Don't think that guy is merciful. So that let's not offend him. you know something happened once in a while. I think about it. You know this Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram fighters and all of those things. You know, they'll go and fight in Algeria and try and kidnap foreign workers because France intervened in Mali. So, you know, some people who don't know, you know, say, hey, Nigeria shouldn't intervene, no, lest they start bombing. Listen, they are doing the greatest number of bombings they can do currently. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If they could do more, they would have done it. Anything they haven't done is because they can't do it. Whether you intervene in Mali or you don't, it's not going to increase their ability. Do you follow my point? So if you believe in going to Mali to go and fight, Nigeria, go to Mali and go and fight. If we annoy them now, they will not start bombing in Kano. Listen, they've been killing Maiduguri all the time. Why? That is where they have the power. If you see them kill once, maybe in a lorry, that's because that's the only time they have the opportunity. They are not, now, that's the end of what I'm going to say. They are not in Enugu and plead because the door is not open. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You must understand that point. Why you see them always causing trouble in Borno State is that that's the place where they are strongest. They have the highest number of followers. They have the, you know, they melt more into the population. And they will have killed more people everywhere where not that God mobilized against them. Are you getting my point? And of course, look, listen, so don't think that I use that as an illustration to let you know what the devil is doing in your life. Whatever he can do now, he's doing everything. So don't be afraid to offend him. Because if I offend the devil now, he'll just kill me. Hey, if he had the ability to kill you, he'll have killed you last year. So annoy him. When you see the devil say, do him like that. He can't do anything. Because when you were not doing like this, he was doing the worst he could to you. You must get that point. I like to emphasize that all the time. So, what does that mean, therefore? If you're alive, the devil couldn't kill you. That's the point. He doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. When people are having problems, he thinks the devil. Listen, if his devil had that kind of power, he would have done worse to you. So don't worry your head about him. Don't just bother at all. Now, why am I saying this? Alright, I want us to get some things clear. Now, life, I said, is a battle. Is a what? Is a battle. Anything that God wants you to have, the word of God describes it to you first, and then you start contending till you get it. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I read from the words of Paul to Timothy, that he said that fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. That is, you've heard about it, it's the good news of the kingdom that's been preached. Now press into it. Because the devil is not as powerful as he wished he would be, because he's not as powerful as people often imagine that he is, the only thing he can do, we discussed it here before, just wanted to emphasize it again, where his power lies is actually in the tricks he uses to try and make you cooperate with him. Remember I said before, one of the major things he does is to tempt. And let me tell you something. If the guy could fight, he wouldn't talk so much. I don't know what you get what I'm going to say. He comes to Eve and says, as God really said, thou shalt eat. If he could really push Eve to eat, he would have said, wait here, open your mouth. Yeah, swallow. Push the fruit into her mouth. No. He has to talk. He has to try and persuade Eve. That's what I want to emphasize to us. That's why I was talking about if I doesn't have the power that we think he has. So what he does is to try and persuade you. Now, I'm going somewhere in all the things I'm saying, trying to get to our prayer point for today. All right? So one major thing he does is to encourage you, suggest to you, explain to you why you should stop believing one thing you are believing and start believing another. Do you understand that? Yes. Do you understand it? Yes. Let me explain it again for those who are not very clear. Satan cannot, for example, now let's assume that, let's talk about most young men worry about the future, all right? So, God has called you to a brilliant future. Amen? Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Young man, young woman, once you are a believer, God has desired and planned a good end for you, a future and a hope. And like I say all the time, they have a saying in my side of the country. They say the child that doesn't die must become an adult. A Christian that's walking with God, not doing anything special. Just God finds you one small job today, you do it. At weekend, you go for Bible study, you read the word of God. You don't commit iniquity, you just go around your life normally without doing anything special. you will get to that place. Yeah, that's the way it is. When I say anything special now, I mean physically. You say, hey, have you gone to this place? Have you gone to drop your CV here? Have you gone to talk to this man? Without going through all of that, things will just jumble, and then finally you find, just be faithful. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. That's good. That's all good. That's all. That's all God it requires. Now, faith is actually what's guiding your steps in that direction, even though you are not doing it deliberately. Are you following what I'm saying? Faith is that thing that's guiding your steps in that direction, even though you are not going there deliberately. What is faith? The fact that you realize that God holds the future in his hands, and just like we have preached, he has planned something for me that is good. Now, so Satan looks, this boy, this girl, is going somewhere great. No, why should we let him get there? Now, some will say, all those who have held your destiny, tonight they will die. Listen to me. Nobody held your destiny, they can't. The only person holding your destiny, may he not die. But thank God he can't die. And that is God in heaven. Some of these prayers, we are aiming them at wrong places. Those who have said you will not prosper, tonight they are going to die. You say, oh God, there's nobody. Let them keep on saying what they are saying. He prepares a table before me in the presence. Their death is irrelevant to my progress. Don't get involved in... People like gymnastics, they are hot. Hey, yeah, tonight, hey, now what? That's not the kind. You know, I told you before, people misdirect the battle. Or they misidentify the battle, therefore they misdirect their fight. You're fighting the enemies that won't let you progress. The real enemy that doesn't want you to progress is not there. It's right beside you, explaining to you why you can't progress. Now, that's where I'm going. Listen, the real battle, that's how it is fought. Satan sits down and starts explaining to you, look at it. Last three businesses, what happened? It failed. And they are telling you that things can work in this country. Why are they lying to you? Listen. Let me just tell you the truth. There is nobody that goes far except he takes his own destiny in his hands and starts plotting. If you read that thing that Paul said to Timothy, he said, I have given you this command according to the prophecy that was issued forth concerning you. That is, every word of God has commands it produces. And most of the time, what we do is that we start disobeying those commands. Are you getting what I'm saying? And start doing things that, because it's a sign of unbelief. We start doing things that are saying to God that we don't believe the word of God anymore. And that's where Satan wins. Listen, he doesn't go to shrine. You know, some people say he goes to shrine. Satan doesn't go to shrine often. People in shrine and in courts, they are his own. Are you getting my point? He's not busy there. He likes to hang at the doors of churches as you are leaving. You believe that guy? Don't mind him. Not because he don't chop a level. No, that's it. Look, that's an American stock. Don't mind them. They'll be preaching prosperity because their country is prosperous. That's it. Every prosperity preacher that will have helped you with the word of God that comes from America, you shut him down. Don't mind him. Who's the one talking? That one. Listen, we need his father. His father was a multi-millionaire. He left him a lot of money. The man has made money now by inheriting something from his father. He's now preaching to us that God wants us to prosper. Let him come and suffer the way we have suffered. The guy is a preacher, preaching the word of God. You shut him out completely. That's the real fight. Are you getting my point? You see that those who go to church every day, no, there's one woman I told you works in my office. We're always having this quarrel anytime I see her. I won't mention the name of her church, all right? But some of you know it. Anytime I see her, she's looking sad and morose until I show up and I start cracking jokes. That's when she starts laughing. I ask after her pastor, after the God of their church. She came to me, I told you this story before, that she's not feeling well. We've had discussions for weeks. I've been trying to explain to her nothing's wrong with her. And she keeps on insisting to me that it's an attack. Can you see what I'm saying? She goes to church every day praying against the attack. One, she works in my office. So we have a hospital environment. I'm a doctor there. Two, more importantly, I'm a preacher. I know the word of God. One day she came to my office. I said, what is the matter? She said, excuse me, sir, maybe you should pray for me before I go. I said, my friend, get out from here. I'm not praying for you. Go. Why? I told her simply, There is nothing wrong with you. You expect me to come and fight the attack that you are having? Are you getting what I'm saying? When there is nothing wrong with you. So that's why I refuse to pray. I say, I better open my door and shift. I have other things to do. I'm not praying for you. You say, hey, you're free to pray for me. I say, yes, I refuse to pray for you. Disappear. Why? Because for weeks, anytime I say, I will sit her down. There is nothing wrong with you. I will explain and explain. Now attack. My chest. My heart. So till she carried the little money she didn't have, went to hospital. The doctors investigated her thoroughly and returned the verdict that I knew from the beginning. And said to her, we can't find anything wrong with you. Now, and the same person goes to church, fast like mad, pray like crazy, face the enemy every day, yet the real enemy, are you seeing my point? Is that voice inside her telling her, listen, you are sick. This is your heart. It will soon fail. Her friends, the people fighting on her behalf, are people like me. Who will sit her down? These people will pray every day, fighting, and because she insisted to meet an attack. Where is the attack? Nothing. But the real attack is in the mind. I'm going somewhere. You are sick. You are sick. You are going to get worse, and then one day you will just die suddenly. It's your enemies. They want to kill you. Then you rise up at night and start praying. They won't get me. Then you can't sleep again. And that's the way by which they are getting you. When sleep is wiped away from your eyes, your body gets weaker. As now you finish praying, your enemies. It's an attack. Can you see your chest is beating? Can you see? Can you feel it? Say yes. It's an attack. Start praying. Are you getting my point? And the person keeps on praying, but every prayer she utters is proof that she has lost the battle. Are you getting my point? Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Listen, her fight should have been to tell whatever voice or the symptom in her body that something wrong with her, that nothing's wrong with me. I don't know whether you're hearing me. That's the real fight. To say that nothing is wrong with me. Why? Because the word of God said so, therefore it is so. Nothing is wrong with me. But your chest, you know, is feeling one kind. I don't care how it is feeling. Like we say, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by the word of God. Now listen, after a while, you understand, Satan will give up in that area and try and use another corner. This is the point. That's why it's a fight. It's a fight not for material things. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight to maintain your faith. So in life, you know, I say this all the time. You put on the TV, the talk is to persuade you. Like, you know, CNN. I noticed something about CNN. In recent times, I'm convinced they have a homosexual agenda. They do. You know, I know that networks have had it. Newsweek has it. Newsweek, the editor is a homosexual, all right? I think CNN, I don't know who it is in CNN that's doing this. But I've noticed that CNN, they are very, very... Oh, if you watch news a lot, like I do, you will notice it. Obama talk plenty things. They took the part in which he talked about gay rights and blew it open. Blew, that is, if you hear them talk on five things, one out of five must be on this homosexual rights, gay marriage. Meanwhile, the man spoke about that maybe like less than 1 in 100 things that he said. It blew the thing up to high heavens. Make you appear, what they're trying to do, there's this woman, Christy Lestout, she was talking on CNN. And he was talking about debate. He said, at CNN, we focus the debate on an issue. Now, I said, she didn't realize she was leaking the secret, but that's actually what they do. Are you getting my point? What they do is what? Focus the whole debate on one issue. You speak against them, you don't come back there. You speak in their favor, you are right there in front. And why am I telling that story again? All Satan is trying to do is to convert you. What did I say? All he's trying to do is what? Convert people. That's it. The fight of faith is to refuse to be converted. This nation is not secure. Anytime you open the newspapers, don't let anybody deceive you and say the nation is not secure. What's the government doing about security? Somebody said the other day that, listen, America has more problems with security than Nigeria has. Don't just deceive anybody. America is a place where somebody will carry a gun enter a school and kill 22 children. The children are 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. They are literal children. Kill their teacher trying to block him from killing them. And you tell them that Nigeria has a security problem. You know, there was one guy who walked into a cinema the other day. In where was that now? Was it in Denver? Anyway, one of those American cities. And started shooting everybody. He came there to watch film like everybody else. After a while, he brought out his gun and started shooting people. And he killed many people. My brother and daughter said later in the same city, one day one man entered one place, shot one person. Before he could turn, 6 people shot him. You don't get the point. Everybody was on high alert. A restaurant, I think Mr. Biggs, or, not Mr. Biggs, but McDonald's or something like that, their own Mr. Biggs, KFC, all those places. People, they were, and they say, hey, bro, oh, boy, you get on, everybody draw for the guy, twa, twa, twa. They shoot off, every man miss. When police came, what happened? No, gunshot, okay, where's the security camera? Oh, it's not working. Nobody wanted any trouble. They don't wipe the recording, sorry, it's not working. Security camera, so it wasn't working. But they not say that there's a security problem in Nigeria. I said, listen, security problem is everywhere. You go to Mali, there's a security problem. You go to Algeria, there's a security problem. Johannesburg is still one of the most violent cities in the world. I hope you know that. The Nigerians run South Africa every day. I see every day there is peaceful. Forget. And then they say, what Satan tries to do, all right, is to just change your mind for you. You can't do well. Last three business, what happened? Now you're owing money. And you say you're a businessman. I'm sure you're not called to this business, you're called to ministry. Many men have left business and gone into ministry because they didn't do well. Listen, I know God can help you persuade to enter your ministry, but like that, but most of the times that's not what happened. Most of the time that's not what happened. The righteous man fails in business 7 times, yet the 8th time he will now finally succeed. Is that not in the Bible? Is there? The righteous man fails for how many times? 7 times. Peter Daniel said that the first 3 or 4 business, I think 3 businesses he started, all of them went bankrupt. He tried different endeavors. They went down. Finally, he stepped into the one that really made him, real estate business. And he became incredibly successful. So successful that people started paying him to talk. And the high point was when he was paid $1 million for 10 minutes talk. All these experiences in life, they try to convert people. Things are bad. Better accept they are bad. This is your future. It's dead. Is it? You believe. Remember, this guy that it describes somebody for you. That's why he was shouting, "Faith, faith." Where is it now? Where don't wise? Don't run go America. You go look. Listen. Anything you make up your mind concerning, by understanding, by meditation, any day you change your mind about that thing, you are falling for Satan's lies. I don't know whether I hear what I said. I'm not talking about you just deciding. No, you've heard the word of God. You've been trained in something for a number of years. You've been here, and then because of the word you've been hearing, you began to believe some things. Then one day you just turn everything upside down. Go and check it. You started believing a lie. You started believing a lie. Are you getting my point? Listen, life, I said, is what? A battle. You are fighting. To enter into the kingdom, what are we doing? We are fighting. It's a fight. And the duty of a believer is to maintain. He said, fight the good fight of faith. The duty of the Christian is to maintain faith in the face of every contrary evidence. That's a Christian's duty. So that if everybody says there is a casting down, say, I've seen it with my eyes, but my mouth will not say it. I will turn around and say, there is a lifting up. Lifting up. There is a lifting up. A lifting up. It is not because I can't see the casting down, but I realize it's a fight. That's Satan's strategy. Are you getting my point? His strategy. Remember what we are talking about. Faith is what he's going for. I like to use this to emphasize it. Satan, Job, you remember the story of Job? Satan went after Job. Was he looking for his children? No, think about it. Answer me. Was he looking for his children? No. He didn't want his money. He didn't want all his cattle and all those camels. No, he didn't want any of those things. All he was looking for to get was the faith of Job. And you know, God was not bragging on, oh, you know, sometimes we brag about things that God is not bragging about. Praise God. Gone are the days when a Muslim is the richest man in the world. We thank God right now, a Christian is the richest man. It would have been nice, except that doesn't interest God at all. He doesn't care who's the richest. You know, when I started learning the word of faith, first day I heard things like Bill Gates, the richest man, the man doesn't believe in God. Like, God, why can a man not? Yeah, I know God believe you, just be the richest man in the world like that. Everybody don't insult God, tire, and they don't make money. Even David at the time was worried. It's in the scriptures. But what we don't understand is that one doesn't bother him at all. What he's really concerned about is not what we're concerned about. You are getting my point? And so when it came to the case of Job, Job was the richest man, but God didn't have any problem with removing everything to prove a point. The whole fight in the life of Job was about what? His faith. The whole fight in the life of Job was about what? His faith. So that at the time, the prophet looked and said, even if everything is spoiled, I'll just rejoice in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. That is, I look around, the job is not working, the plants are not producing anything, all the chicken we bought, they refuse to lay eggs. And I said, nothing works in this country, it's not a lie. Something works in this country. Are you getting my point? Why? Because we have prophesied, you know, a few days ago, I told somebody, say, this Nepal people said, I thought you don't praise them too much. You can't manifest. I just said, we won't praise them again. We'll start praising God alone. So if there's light now, we'll say, Nepa, they try. No, Nepa, I'm not talking about you at all. Father, I thank you because the prophetic word is coming to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. We worship. We worship. If the light goes off, say it was not Nepa, we're praising. Can we not stop praising? Can we stop praising God now? Because we're not surprising God because Nepal took light. No, Nepal can take the light. You are not God. Amen. Father, I thank you because literally you are the God that dwells in light that we need. Send some of them down here. In the name of Jesus, we worship you for power. We thank you. In the midst of darkness, we'll keep worshiping. After a while, peace. They take the light, Joe. They take your light. No, that's the way this life works. Because it's not the power they were going for. It's that faith. It's that praise that is in our mouth. So I said, this is when I will praise them. I said, never done a trial. They will come quench light so as to manifest. I said, good. Henceforth, we know nobody after the flesh. If power is constant, we will worship the Lord. If they quench them, we will worship the Lord. But we will continue to prophesy. That's my message this evening. We will continue to prophesy without changing our minds. We will refuse to change our minds. So can you imagine, after all the prayer we prayed, Nigeria can't even handle disaster. See, flood has now killed people. Father, we thank you for water that was so plenty became a flood. May your blessing come upon this land in a flood manner. Yes. Next time it won't be water carrying people. It will be plenty food. It will be plenty fuel. Not the one that's catching fire. I mean, there will be enough. No fuel everywhere. No scarcity. In the name of Jesus Christ, that will be our portion. He said, but flood kills some people. Lord, give them eternal rest in the name of Jesus Christ. But we would refuse to change our minds. Look, see, people are making noise. Have you gone to America? You know the number of things flood does in those places. Are you getting my point? People make it look as once you just get to America, like flood. No, flood just finds its level. It doesn't disturb anybody. May not be in, what's the name, where Katrina was? New Orleans. Uh-huh. Flood goes everywhere. Was it in Russia the other day? Snow was just killing everybody. I've forgotten how many scores of people died because of cold. The cold was too much. Some people, they're just driving, then the car just go up. They don't go off the... And people are still taking visa to go to those places. Are you getting my point? That's the duty of the believer. That's your job as a child of God. To refuse to buy the lie of the devil. To refuse to accept, to change your mind, all right, and fit your mind to what he wants you to believe. Like I say all the time, don't think that Satan will just come and say, don't worry, Joe.
Don't believe anything that is that's good. Oh, start believing bad things.
Just come and say, wake up. Now let's start believing bad. Just wake up and say, today we are going to believe bad things. It doesn't work like that. What does he do? He provides sound evidence. Doubt. You know, before I used to think that doubt is refusal to believe. No, doubt is not refusal to believe, I found out. Doubt is every good and solid evidence you have for why God is not telling the truth. I don't know whether I heard what I said. Let me explain it again. For example, when I say, look, let's assume I'm praying, and I say in the name of Jesus, and you believe what I'm about to say. Say, in Jesus' name, your business will do well. That's the word of God, amen? That's a prayer. We receive it by faith. All right? And we are believing it. After 1 year, I say, how's your business? Say, Pastor, if I was to pray that prayer, Now, wow. Are you saying that the word of God is not? No, I didn't say so. Just that, look, oh, forget this thing. When you left that prayer, you were with me. You get me? We were together. Except that, as soon as you got to the market that day, you realize that fire burnt the night before because somebody, something, maybe there was a power surge, caught fire, half of your shop don't burn. It's okay. We thank God. It abided alone. When it germinates, it brings one more fruit. Forget. You know, following the those who gave you facility to buy goods that you stuck in there. You know, bankers, very wicked people. Once they hear that fire burned the thing, they will come and say, yeah, come and repay us now. Then the little thing is for collateral. They don't collect them. After a year, you wish I didn't pray that prayer. You say, okay, I better forget this thing. Nothing works in this country. You know, it's just a spiritual problem. You know, there's nothing. Anything you want tries to do. That is called what? Doubt. What did I call it? Doubt. The man didn't wake up and say, I want to doubt. Satan gave him the reasons to doubt. And once those things were so clear before his eyes, he believed those things and began to reject the things he believed before. That's what doubt is. What is the fight of faith? I choose what I believe. Is the word of God. I choose it, I hold on to it, no matter what. Let me put it like this. Even if I died, I would die believing that thing. You hear what I said? And you say, what if you die believing it? How has it benefited you? Let me just tell you this story and then we'll finish with it. There's a man in the Bible, his name is Abraham. God said to him, a father of many nations I have made. The man was not, physically speaking, a father of a tiny nation by the time he died. I hope you know that. Yes. Yet he died believing it. And let me ask you a question. Did he become a father of many nations? In case you do not know, you, sitting down here, you are numbered as one of the nations. I didn't say you are a part of the nation, no. Did I say so? You didn't hear me. I said you are numbered as what? One nation. Oh God. The smallest amongst them will be what? At the Bible says, is he a company? And the biggest, or a nation, there's one scripture like that. Before we go, I'll look for it. The point I'm making is, I want to say the father of many nations. You are not counted, you, as an individual, you're not counted as one of the members of a nation. One person, God expects him to be what? A nation. So when Abraham became a father of many nations, you are one of the nations that he became a father of. Yet, that was not many thousands of years ago. He died believing it. What am I saying? This is what faith is. Once I've made up my mind from the word of God, what I believe, it ain't changing my mind. That's why I tell people, don't build your expectation on material things. Praise God. I don't believe God. I'm going to buy a Lamborghini. Amen. I hold. That's not faith. That's desire. That's, how do I call it now? It just is desire. That's not faith. Lamborghini is not the word of God. Amen. What did I say? Lamborghini is not the word of God. Why am I just talking about Lamborghini? I don't even know. Let's look for something else. Rolls Royce. House. In the name of Jesus, I have a big house. Wake up every morning, start confessing you have a big house. One day you are going to have a big casket. I hope you know that. At least they know it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. One day this thing has to come to an end. If Jesus doesn't come back before then. So that's not what I mean by faith. That's not the word of God.
Faith can produce that for you. Amen? It can produce it. Yes, most certainly. 10,000 times over. But that's not what we hold on to. I can hold on to a word of prosperity, and it's a word of God. You know mine. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, you can't change my mind about it. Even if I wanted to change my mind, all I need to do is get the tapes I preached about it, listen to it twice, then I will recover my mind. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. Paul said to Timothy, because of that prophetic word, I have issued you certain commandments. Because of that prophetic word, I issued myself certain commandments. Like I have a rule. I don't run after money. Say, if you move this ministry to Abuja, my God. And then me, move ministry because of offerings? Let me not say what's in my mind concerning you. I've told you, people have given me all kinds of counsel. You have to start Sunday services because that is when people give offering. They don't know I have a commandment because of a prophecy. You are getting what I'm saying? Every time a prophetic word goes forth, you know what it says to you? There are things you do, there are things you don't do. It's deliberate for me. Anytime when it comes to ministry materials, Israel knows what I'm talking about. We strategize for widest distribution. Not for widest sale. It's for widest distribution. In fact, all our books will soon be on the website. When I say all, I mean all. But recently, I was meditating about it. We were thinking about withdrawing three of them, and there's a reason. You say that, oh, you want to sell that one? Not really. We are trying to look for an outlet to propagate it into a circle of people that normally don't come to a place like Kingdom World website. Why? These are commandments. Look, who was talking to me the other day? One lady was talking to one sister. Okay, yes. She said that she wanted, somebody said, you're listening to this Pastor Banky. He said, can't listen to somebody. She said, she understood, but that she went online trying to get to the words of many of the big ministers she knew so as to download messages, and they were not available. That is, I like this man of God, this woman of God, I want her material. So you go to the website, they look for them. You can buy a set of DVDs for $200 and not get $200. I just won't hear a word. Why can't I just click? You want to read this one? You want to listen to this? We'll send it for you for this amount of money. Everything was for sale. I'm not saying it's evil. Yes, I have a personal commandment which is in line with the one this man too had. What is his name? Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack. This thing must be available. There are very few ministers that do that. In fact, most of the people I know, well, don't let me count too many people, but of the ones I know, a majority are not American. They are not American. I don't mean North American. I said they are not American. One I'm thinking of is from, both of them I'm thinking of now are African and Asians. They're the ones that make it available. Just click. And anytime we're working on our website, the messages up there right now, they're over 500. And I'm always very happy when I want to show somebody. Say, you need to just open and press this. Click. Amen. Praise the Lord. The message starts. What am I saying? Commandments come out of prophecies. Prophetic words produce what? Commandments. And what do we call those commandments? Who can remember the word we use for them? Testimonies. Thank you. What are testimonies? They are customized commandments. That is, once you have faith in God, there are things he tells you you can't do. Not as if it's illegal. Are you getting my point? It's not wrong, like wrong like that. But for you, no, you just don't go near that side. Because the prophetic word you are operating by says, no, that one doesn't work for you. For me, there are things that don't work. And it's all born out of a number of prophetic words. One of them which says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. What that means is that whatever it is I have given you to do, do it well. Don't worry. You will prosper. Are you getting my point? I'm not allowed to strategize for how the ministry will bring more fun. Forget. It's against the word of God, that prophetic word. What is the fight? The fight is to maintain that which I have believed from the beginning. Like I said, we are not fighting to say, hey, I will have this car. No, I will have this house. I will travel to this place. No. We take a word of God and hang our lives upon it. Even if I died today, that word will still be coming from my mouth and it will still be in my hands. Are you getting my point? And let me tell you, the way God does things, let me leave that anyway. But the point I want to make is that my descendants will benefit from that word. And I have two groups of descendants. There are natural descendants, like Akinolu, Olugbenga, you know, people like that. And then there are spiritual descendants. And who are those spiritual descendants? Everyone that believes the word that I preached while saying those things. Are you getting my point? So that word has ignited a race of blessed people. And no devil on earth can stop it from manifesting. That's what I mean. That's what we call faith. That's real faith. We hold on to the word of God. And circumstances around must not be allowed to discourage us. It's a fight. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So let's rise to our feet. This actually, anyway, maybe we'll continue next time. I will try next time to just get into this immediately without having to say anything much. There's just one I want us to do today. All right? And then we are out of here. We'll do that even if it's 5 minutes, then we'll close. It's a battle. Do you understand my point? It's what? A battle. Let me just say another thing before I go on. Don't let every little gain, when I say gain now, if you are believing God that, all right, let's use power as an example. It's going to be a constant matter in this nation. All right, this will be good. You make small advancement, you now relax. Are you getting my point? No, maintain that pressure. The kingdom of God does what? Suffers violence. And our violence is spiritual. It's not physical, though. It's spiritual. And this is how the violence is. If they, using this power as an example, they remove the power you have, you don't change your mind. If they start giving you power 12 hours of 24, you don't say, hey, let's now relax. So continue declaring. If it comes 24 out of 24, in fact, as far as you are concerned, all the days of your life, you will sustain power in this country with your mouth. Let your children get used to it. You know I mean? Like they can get used to it. They know they quench light. You understand? But for you, Nalai, you are the soldier of God that will make sure that that occurs. I just added that the fact that if things improve, like one of my friends said once, there's a man they were praying for. They were praying for the man. They began to recover, and they all stopped praying for him. Then he died suddenly. The man was very, very sick. Everybody was praying. Church was praying. They began to recover, and every man went about his business. Then he woke up one morning. The man clearly, rapidly died before they would start praying again. I just felt like adding that one to it. All right? Let's not get complacent. Let's not get complacent. And most importantly, please, don't. You know, sometimes you feel under obligation to cooperate with your friends when they are talking. You know what I mean? Yes. They're talking. Say, yes, things don't work. Look at it now. They are just recycling all these old men. They are recycling them. This man was PDP secretary 8 years ago. Now he's a minister of this. Are they the only people in this country? This one was minister of defense. Now he's not national security advisor. What is going on in this country? And you wake up every night, you sit down. I know those talks, they never come to an end. Have you noticed that nobody that came from our local government and went from there to the north and back to the south ever became governor in this state? Can you believe that? Yeah, so we never agree. They talk. In fact, what has been going on right now is that the governor just recycling the same people, local government chairman. They are now the ones that are, commissioners, and the commissioners are now back as councillors and councillors. This is a useless state. And you say, yes, it's a useless state. Satan said, thank you. I was walking towards that. So what should I say? It's simple. We're not hanging our faith on politics, amen? So we don't care who's the new governor of any state. Our faith is in the word of God. What did I say? Our faith is in the word of God. Say, what do you think about this matter? All I know is that in the midst of everything, God is working. We are going to make progress no matter what. God is the one that appoints people as kings. The king of God will mount that throne and I will prosper by it. So you don't need to know too much politics. Are you getting my point? It's not that you don't need anybody to prove to you God is working. Just trust that he's working. What do you have to say about the situation of this country? We are going somewhere great. We are prophesying good concerning this country. Prosperity will be within her palaces in the name of Jesus Christ. Security is our portion in this country. Leave those who are misbehaving, let them misbehave. In their misbehavior, they will do the will of God. You have not sided anybody, have you? You never curse anybody. You don't curse anybody. But that kind of talk can kill people. You don't know that. If they're talking like that, some people want to withstand the word of God. The word of God will just stand up. They are gone. And you won't even know you were responsible. Therefore, let's take a few minutes, please, and speak concerning our country. And if you are not a Nigerian, wherever you are, the same principles apply. We're just speaking like this because we are Nigerians. You understand? So let's begin to declare again. First of all, let's start with thanksgiving. All the time, that one never misses it. Let's start with it. Say, Father, we thank you. Just begin to give him thanks for the things that we have experienced so far. If I just repeat after me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for what we have experienced. We thank you because if we have lost anything, say like you believe it, you are the reason we did not lose everything. Lord, we thank you for peace. We thank you for abundant provision. We thank you for stability. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, we thank you for peace. Say like you believe it, Lord, we thank you for peace. We thank you for stability. We thank you for abundant provisions. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just give God thanks in your own way. Just give him thanks for anything. Thank him for life. Thank him for your job. Thank him for the work you are doing. Thank him for the work you are not yet doing. Thank you for the time he has given you to seek him. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, just a few minutes, let's just do something, all right? This thing just keeps coming to my mind, and I think it's now we start fighting towards it. This figure, Abby, this year, 2015. How many of you have heard of 2015? You know, it's a year, amen? It's coming up in 2 years' time. We're in 2013. People already begin to say things about 2015. Nobody can deny us the presidency. It's time for power to shift. This is where everybody's talking. We don't know what this country may be may disintegrate 2015. Listen, let's plaster it. Amen? What did I say? Let's hold it together with the super glue of God. That word 2015 is so strong in my mind. Let's turn. Everybody close your eyes, please. Turn towards 2015. Now, I believe that this is the reason why 2015 is important, that we start praying about it now. For those, I just like teaching you small medicine. How many of you ever heard of diabetes? The kind of diabetes children get, they tend to start when they are teenagers. But they taught us, and I teach students that also, that it actually starts when they're like 2 years of age. Yeah, it starts manifesting maybe when they're like 14, 15, 16, thereabout. The events of 2015, that's what I'm going to explain, has begun now. Do you get my point? That's why we should tackle, even though we are speaking about 2015, listen to me, we're actually arranging political arrangements. We are scattering alliances. We are joining new ones. We are putting order into this nation, even though we are talking about what? 2015. Let's just shut our eyes. Think of 2015. It's a year of election, change of government. Now speak to 2015. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command peace upon you. Concerning this nation, I command peace upon you. Every worker of iniquity, say every satanic force, in the name of Jesus Christ, I destroy your power concerning this nation. 2015, listen, there will be no bloodshed. There will be peace. There will be order. And there will be no disintegration of this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Say 2015. You will receive the leader anointed and appointed by God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say 2015. You will experience security. You will experience prosperity concerning this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say 2015. In the name of Jesus, we cement you with the word of God. We cement you with the decree of the church of God. And we declare peace. That's all. Listen, no matter what you see from now, you must not change your mind. No matter what. See, those words, you don't have to remember verbatim. Whichever way you spoke them, whichever way you remember them. You know what you are doing? What you are doing is that you are commanding peace between now and then. You know what you are doing? There are people who are already arranging. You know, they say CPC and ACN wants to join. Yesterday I heard that some people in ACN say, no, Buhari cannot run. Look, they are beginning to calculate. But by these simple words, what you have done is that you have decided who will unite or who will not unite. There are alliances that are strong now that will disintegrate. There are new ones that will form. Listen, by the simple words that we are speaking concerning that year, the political events of this nation from now till that time, we are commanding peace upon it.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something. You will prosper in this land.
Amen.
Listen to me. You will make progress in this land.
Amen.
Listen to me, please. Let me just say this. You can travel anywhere. My wife likes to travel to many places. And because of that, I'm beginning to like to travel to many places. Amen. But you must never run anywhere. There's a difference between traveling and running. What did I say? Running is that you think there's security there. The nation of Israel, Jeremiah spoke to them. He said, move with the Babylonians. They refused. They suffered for it. After that was over, he now spoke to them. He said, now stay here. Those of you who are remaining, don't go anywhere. Some of them say, you want to kill us. They ran to Egypt. Do you know Nebuchadnezzar went to Egypt and went and overtook them and killed them there? Tell your neighbor, safety is of the Lord.
Safety
is only in the Lord.
Let
me say it to you again. You can go anywhere. Maybe you like to see snow. And the only snow you have seen has been in your freezer. And the one on television. There's nothing wrong with liking to see snow. The other day, my mother said, this is just a joke. She was just talking about Jerusalem people. And after I finished abusing pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and I said to her, in case you want to go, Sha, let me know. That is, it's not pilgrimage. It's a trip. So if she wants to go on pilgrimage, I will gladly help her go on pilgrimage. I don't believe, I wonder, Jesus, you can never find the tomb where he died. That one there is a money-making tomb. It's true. You think I'm joking? I carry you to go and see Last Supper room. And you believe it. In fact, you are the mogul, not them. You believe that this is the Last Supper room. They have like two or three of those Last Supper rooms, I hope you know. Depend on the tourist company that took you there. It's money. Those Jews, you don't know those guys. If you want, they will kill a new Jesus, bury him for you, say, come and see him here. Now, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. The point I'm making is this. You can travel anywhere. But listen, this is the word of the Lord. You must not run anywhere. What did I say? You must not run anywhere. God will preserve your portion of this land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will prosper. Your children will not know what they call poverty.
Amen.
You'll have to explain to them how to be kind to the poor because they won't know what it means to be poor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every resource, everything that is needed to bring out your fruit in this land, God will supply it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because of you, power will be steady.
Amen.
Because of you, water will be everywhere well piped.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, in a few years, you will see Nigerian police, you will hardly recognize it.
Amen.
You know now, the way you look at phone, you know, I don't know, many of you became serious adults when phone was already there. Some of us married by queuing up at Nitel card at 12 midnight to go and talk to whom you won't marry. We saw the transition. We look back now, I see say once in a while, how did we survive? Let me tell you, that is the way you will marvel concerning Nigerian police.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's how you will marvel concerning power supply.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how you will marvel concerning the educational sector in this country.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say it to you again. It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. none of these shall fail, neither will any lack its mate. Now, you know why he had to explain that? Because he said things that were impossible. That's why he said it. He said, but this is how it will happen. He said, once the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit goes out to gather. I am not saying things that are reasonable. I'm not saying things that are natural. I'm not saying things we can plot by observing events and putting them on a piece of paper and seeing the possible outcome. I am saying that once we speak, the Spirit of God will go out and it will gather. Listen to what will be gathered concerning you. Prosperity will be gathered for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Before God brought Adam and Eve into the garden, he first made the garden. Your garden will be made in the name of Jesus. Before you step into that, your future, into that, your destiny, God will arrange every human being, every resource, every material thing that is needed to bring it to manifestation. He will arrange it without your own effort in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you know what he says? Dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. He didn't say go there and be smart. What did he say? Dwell in your business and cultivate what?
Faithfulness.
You are an academic person? Dwell in academics and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. You are in ministry. Dwell in ministry and cultivate what? Faithfulness. He didn't say go to any of these places and go and make money. He didn't say go to any of the places and go and prosper. He said go there and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. It is his duty to bring forth your light as the noonday. It is his duty to make events come. You know, the other day, they announced a new minister of power. And I said, look, I don't think that man organized and arranged that thing. I remember once, at University of Ife, then, there was big wahala on campus. They went to change the vice chancellor. They skimmed out the most popular man and put their own man in it. Then something happened, not related to that. Campus scattered. They began to sack everybody. Finally, they said, who's in the VC we want? The man they wanted had gone to London on sabbatical leave. They had to call him and say, well, come back home. We hear that you are the one that is wanted. They will send for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. God will bring forth your judgment in the due season in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will make your light shine like the noonday sun in its season in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, you won't die young.
Amen.
You will see your children,
Amen.
Their children,
Amen.
And their own children too.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, goodness will follow you. Mercy will never depart from your side.
Amen.
Goodness will follow you.
Amen.
Mercy will never depart from your side.
Amen.
Goodness will arrange the events of your life.
Amen.
Mercy will take you into your destiny.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hear it once again. In this country, you will do well.
Amen.
From here, you will go anywhere, but you will go with a pocket full.
Amen.
You are not going to go begging.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, preachers, a lot those I hear it. I don't hear it much these days. Preachers, they want to go abroad, like to go to America and Western Europe. Somebody can give them offering. But the man I love most of all is Bishop David Oyedepo. Say once he went abroad, he went to America to go and preach. Somebody will say, "Oh, I was so blessed by your ministry. What needs do you have in your ministry?" He said, "Our ministry is not a needy ministry. We're a giving ministry. If you have needs, tell me." He left Nigeria. Went to America. And you know what someone was saying? What's the man of God doing in private jet? Bishop Oyedepo should please buy 10. You know why? I'll tell you my reason. For my sake, he should please buy 10. Because I knew when he was speaking, when he didn't have money. So God, buy 10. Let those who don't like him, and they vex. After you're not begging them for money. If you abuse him again, he'll buy another one. So if you don't want him to buy, just zip your mouth. He said one of those days he went to, I think another North American country, pastor, he said, he saw the host pastor was fidgeting. He said, what's the problem? And that the venue they are using, they've not paid the people. The people are done. They said, just ask the man, how much is the money? They told him. He opened his briefcase, counted it, gave it to them, go and pay. He was a guest minister from Nigeria. Went to America. He said, he saw the pastor, you know, like fidgeting, say, hey, Israel, come, Hafa. Hey, Bishop, Hafa. He saw them, everybody whispering. He said, come, what is the problem? And they said, there's a problem. Man, right now, they've not paid. They are supposed to pay the venue people, those who own the property. They have not paid. He said, how much? They told him. He opened the briefcase. Counted for them US dollars. Go and pay and stop all this sweat. He said, black is not lack.
Yes,
Black, he said, is what? It's not lack. You will not lack in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I had to tell my wife this. Who said, they want to go abroad. I told my wife, listen, you ain't traveling to see anybody. I can count at least £1,000, put it in your pocket. And you go there and say, peace be upon this home. There are two kinds of peace. When you show up like this, peace be upon this home. Everybody will be happy you came. You wonder when you arrive, they don't say food will go down. Everything will go down, bill will go up. And you're not, no, it's not the will of God. And you are traveling abroad, you have enough money. They want to go shopping, you go there. No, no, let me handle that. You pay. I said, no, we came from Nigeria. You know, dollar is changing for 160 naira. Bishop Odepo said, have more naira, you will not know how much it's changing for. I mean, yeah, it's changing. When it was changing for 10 naira to the dollar, did you have dollar? Now it's 160. What's it concern you? Don't worry. The day you need $1 million, if it's changing for 1,000, just have 1 billion naira. They will give it to you and there will be no quarrel. Listen, you can prosper from any corner of this world. That's the point I'm making. You will not run helter-skelter. I told you my commandment that came out of that prophetic word is that don't run helter-skelter for money. From wherever you are, you will prosper.
Amen.
I said, from wherever you are, you will prosper. I say, I will prosper.
I will prosper.
In this land, though,
I
will prosper.
Wherever I go,
listen to this. Say, I am a missionary.
I am a missionary.
Now, missionary doesn't mean you've gone to the Congo, the bush, there to go and preach the gospel, you know, the way we think about it. That can be. But it means if tomorrow you are found in Ghana, it's because you went there to do business. You went there to do something. You are not hiding. That's what it means to be a missionary, to be on a mission. You will go to Australia as a missionary in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will go to North America as a missionary in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, you will go to South Africa as a missionary in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember what I said, though? There are different kinds of missionaries. There are those who go to preach. There are those who go to invest. There are those who have money. They go there. They go and read. They want to go and do something. You pay. How much is school fees? $10,000. Take. They sit down. After a year, they collect their certificate. They come back home. And go wherever they want, but they are not hiding in places. Listen, safety is only of the Lord. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. He puts down one and lifts you up. And that is your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Some of you here, hear this well. The first time you are going to America, you will go with $10,000 to blow.
Amen.
You're not going to buy anything, no? You know, some people go to buy, say, let me buy. I'm a business person. Like, my wife travels, buys, comes home, sells. No. I mean, you just go and say, hey, your wife. In fact, you may even be a single man that time, say, a single woman, whichever one. But the first time, not the second, the first time you are going, you will count your $10,000 complete. When you get to see your friend, hey, how are you doing? Come, guys, let me take you. Say, you came from Nigeria to take us out. Yeah, come, let's go. What is it? Because you're in America. You know there's poverty here too. And there's prosperity anywhere. And I have come as a prosperous man to be a blessing to you. And you finish, when you finish, the only thing you bring back home are things you came to dash people that you travel to take. If you are the one, say amen.
Amen.
If you said that amen, it's your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me repeat what Bishop Oyedepo said. He said, black is not synonymous with lack. Black, he said what? It's not synonymous with lack. It's not. If you're a child of God, lack is not your portion.
Amen.
Listen, look, you have to walk like that. I was all looking and say, if I just get this visa lottery, my God, my life will change. Listen, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. A lizard here, you just go in there to continue your lizard. Better let the word of God build you up. Are you getting my point? And to become so strong that wherever you are, even if you are in Nigeria, you'll be a crocodile. You get what I'm saying? And then you can, you know, I like, you know, some people can sit down and be criticizing, you know, what is it, man of God, no, private jet. They say, why does the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? Why does a man buy a private jet to fly somewhere? It means he's going somewhere that you are not going. What's your problem? You know, people can criticize. Should you buy a private jet? I don't know. But for your information, my car is some people's private jet. I hope you know that. My car is private jet to some people. Go to some interior villages, you know what I'm saying. So what's the man doing with the car at this store? Can't he just come here with a keke napep? We'll see, I've listened to his gospel. It's true. Minka and I went to preach on Sunday. You know, it's a small thing, but just a good illustration. Those of you who are here, I think, please go and buy food quickly. To go on that trip and come back, just like almost, we spent 10,000 naira to just, you know, for everything. That's how it is. So we say, 10,000 naira, just go here, come back. Why can't you portray to the place, not the gospel? But I didn't make the car. That is the amount of fuel he guzzles. But I got there in peace, returned in joyfulness. Is that not good?
Yes.
That's how private jet is for some people. Please don't join all these people that are brought up in poverty and their brain has refused to remove poverty. We're criticizing those who God has blessed. I don't know how people buy their jets, it will not concern me. But jets were made for man, not man for jet.
Yes.
The poverty were very terrible, very annoying. One of the people was in East Africa. To come back home, he was going to idle in Kenya for like 2 days. Then hang around, go to, Somalia, Ethiopia. Finally collect flight. The man calculated, check, phone Lagos. Abiy, find a plane, come and pick me from here. I'm not staying one more day here. They took here an empty plane, empty. You don't get what I'm saying? They chartered a flight, empty. Went straight to Kenya, landed, okay, enter, flew back to Lagos. No, because you are not going somewhere, doesn't mean that people are not going somewhere. Because all your journey is from here to your shop, back to the house, back to Bible study, then you go back. You know what they're doing in private. It's true. Someone like me, if you give me a year, where am I going? From here to Itukozela, back to my house, and that's it now. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Anyway, what was I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you the word of God concerning your life. You will prosper too.
Amen.
Hey, let me just say, they will criticize you too. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
You don't know it's a blessing. Look at you. Are you ever saying, sit down and say, I don't know why that poor man is only eating beans. What do you want? Hey, we talk about you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Somebody will talk about you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. There will be people who don't like you. That's just the way life is. It's a sign that you are going somewhere. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It's a sign that you are going somewhere. It is a sign that you are going somewhere. And you will go somewhere in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
My emphasis again today is this. Wherever you are, wherever you put your feet, from there you will prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because you are connected to the Most High God. Therefore, your life will never be low. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It's shining brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And that is your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.
The word was.
God bless you.